Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Sunday, April 22nd, 2018. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my silent but deadly twin brother, John Abaya.
Wait, did we just do this? Did we just do this like last week? What are we doing, Ben? I don't understand what's happening, Ben. Why are we doing this?
Yes, we are doing this, but we actually don't have everyone on here. So last week we recorded an episode of discussing A Quiet Place, or this is probably last week or a couple weeks ago.
But, yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Basically, we lost the recording of that due to technical difficulties. I don't understand what happened, but it wiped out like one of our recordings. So, I mean, I could put up my portion of it, but many of our guests' portion wasn't recorded well. Our featured guest was your wife, Audrey Abaya,
mm-hmm.
and our nephew, John Nino Abaya. We all watched A Quiet Place, and we talked about it a lot. So we're going to re-record this a couple weeks later and see if this will turn out well.
You could say that their part was just quiet. Like, you
know, yeah, yeah.
Re-release that and just silence every time they talk.
Yes. But yeah, so apologies for that. I know it's been a couple of weeks or almost a month since the last episode. We'll try to get these out, especially because a lot of big movies are coming out and a lot of other stuff, from video games to comic books to music that's coming out really quickly this summer. And it's only April, so
yeah,
looking forward to that. So how are you, John?
I'm pretty good. I'm getting a lot of allergies. The allergy season is upon us, and I'm trying to battle that. And apparently, my throat is really bad right now because somehow allergies affects that somehow. But my eyes are turning red, like I was a zombie or something.
I am going through the same. I don't know about allergies, but I just came back from a sickness. I had a sickness last week, and I'm just recovering from that.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So but the weather is kind of icky. Out here. So, yeah. Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week. And we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is, again, the film A Quiet Place. For us, it's again, but for the listeners, this is the first time you'll actually listen to this. Probably not the same review. Anyway, before all of that, we have a trailer talk. This week's trailer is Hotel Artemis.
Hello. How can I help?
Easy, fellas. Everybody's gonna get fixed up. Now verify your memberships, and we're off to the races.
The Artemis is a secret hospital for criminals.
I thought you were done with all this.
I got out, but you know how it goes.
You're never out. Not up here.
I thought this place was a myth.
We've been here for 22 years. This hospital was built on two things. Trust. And rules.
You see that badge? That means I'm a healthcare professional.
You're an arms dealer, right?
Don't push my buttons. Don't you do that.
I'm a professional, but this woman, she's the business. If you knew what she could do to you with just that cup of coffee.
And that is a clip from the trailer of Hotel Artemis. It is directed by and written by his directorial feature film debut, Drew Pierce. From IMDb, this is the plot synopsis. Set in riot-torn near-future Los Angeles, approximately, I think it's like 2028 in the trailer, Hotel Artemis follows the nurse who runs a secret members-only emergency room for criminals. It stars Jodie Foster, Dave Bautista, Sofia Boutella, Jeff Goldman, and Sterling K. Brown. So, John, I know I'm a fan of all those actors. And I want to know, what's your thoughts about this trailer? And does it seem too familiar of certain action films that came out this past decade? Especially with the neon lights and colors.
Yes, especially the style of the film, or even the trailer, I mean, looks really like John Wick. Even the way they portray the hospital and the rules. I forgot, the Continental, I think it's called?
Yeah.
Right, in John Wick. This one also reminds me, there is a thing in the Marvel Universe that's similar to this, where there's this hospital that helps bad guys a little bit too. And then this one's the same way. And there's like certain rules on the grounds too. And I thought that's pretty neat that they show. I just want to see the cast of characters that they have, especially like Jodie Foster in this cool action movie. They do that one thing in movies where they show like a whole bunch of names all at once. And then one name they didn't show, I was really surprised, is Jenny Slate. They actually, they show a whole bunch of these names, like just posted on there of all the, I guess, assuming the assassins. And at the end of that, they show Jenny Slate, but she doesn't have a name. Like, the actress is shown in the movie. I was like, huh, that's kind of funny the way they did that. I personally like Jenny Slate as a comedian and an actress. So that it was kind of odd that they didn't do that to her. I don't know if she's actually playing like an assassin in this one. But yeah, one thing that surprised me about the trailer is Jeff Goldblum. He is doing a lot of work recently for some reason. Like, he doing his Jeff Goldblum thing that he does usually in movies. And this one, he's just a assassin too, like you could say.
I think he's like a kingpin of some sort.
Yes, type of person. Dave Barista?
No, Batista.
Batista. Barista. Dave Barista is the one that served me Tuxedo Mocha last week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really want to see him in more movies that are not Marvel related. And I haven't watched, what was that movie, that the sci-fi movie that he was in recently? Just like a little bit.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, not that one. The other one.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy?
The robot one.
The robot one.
Well, is he a robot or not?
Blade Runner.
Yeah, Blade
2024.
Runner. 2024. Yeah, I just want to see.
Which is odd
more.
Because this takes place 4 years after that, I guess. I forgot what year Blade Runner takes place.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably not 2024, but probably something.
But yeah, I'm just looking forward to the cast of people they have that they show in the trailer. And yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait for this too. I think the premise of the film is really neat. Like you said, I've heard of this premise before. I mean, John Wick has used this premise, but mm-hmm. with a hotel too. Yeah, it's kind of cool to see this, especially folks like Sterling K. Brown and Jeff Goldblum. I think those two stars, especially for Sterling K. Brown, who just came off of Black Panther. He had a minor role in Black Panther, and a lot of people know him from This Is Us. I don't, television show I haven't watched. I've watched a couple episodes, but I know he's really tremendous in there, and he's an Emmy Award winner. And it's cool to see him in this role. And we can't wait. You get this John Wick vibe from it.
Yep.
Hopefully it has the same sort of action sequences and whatnot. And I'm really hoping for the story to be well played out too. And it's cool to see Jodie Foster. I think you could tell that Jodie Foster's wore a lot of like old people makeup to make her look older.
Oh, yes, yes.
But it's kind of cool to see her. I know she's a very short lady, so that's kind of cool to see. That is Hotel Artemis. I believe it's coming out this summer in the theaters near you, so can't wait for that. So we're going to go through a bunch of stuff that we've talked about in the last episode. And then I'm going to talk about a couple things too. But John, can you discuss what you've been doing this week?
I'm not doing that much. I am starting to play PUBG Mobile more. I said in the last episode, I'm assuming, I'll drop it. But I am playing that just real quick. I can't drop it for some reason. My arm, it wasn't really affected by it. Last time I said that my arm started hurting. Apparently it's not, I think. Or it healed in a weird way where it doesn't affect my arm anymore. I don't know, Ben. Should I go to the doctor and check this out? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah, it's up to you, actually.
But I'm still playing that a little bit. I've reached gold tier. If anyone wants to play with me, it's like my other usernames, BioArts, just add me. I'm pretty good. I'm not the best player, but last night, there was like a great match that went down by the wire. And then my team members were playing squads, and then the person was goofing around a little bit and threw a grenade in the middle. I died already at this point, but I was just what do you call that, spectating? And then the person threw a grenade in the middle of our like group people. And it's only five people left, counting us, the three that are alive and two more. And then he ended up disabling the other two, but managed to get them back up, but end up losing. It was like a thrilling match that I never seen before. And I was like, I don't know. Those type of moments is always thrilling to me, especially on PUBG or even Fortnite and whatnot. I really love those type of moments where it goes down to the wire and just the silliness sometimes in it. Moving on from that, my wife and I actually watched, and we reviewed this too in the Lost episode. Lost episode, huh?
We should do one of those.
Yeah, Lost episode.
Like talking about Lost.
Yep. Good idea. Let's write that down in our notes. Lost episodes. We watched this thing. So this was recommended actually to us when we said, oh, what are you looking forward to in the new year? And then this was one of the movies. And this one came out actually on Netflix. It's called Day of the Dead Bloodline. So I am a fan of George A. Romero. I'm a huge fan, actually. I love Night of the Living Dead. It's like top three films of my life that affected me, basically. Was that thing called Stuck Film 4? I don't know what the hell. The hashtag.
Filmstruck 4.
Oh, yeah, Filmstruck
4. That's because of the streaming site, Filmstruck, which I subscribe to that. And it's really cool if you like Criterion films and films that you haven't watched. I think I've promoted it here because there's a television show there that people usually they created that interview stars who are into Criterion films. Huh. So
never knew where that hashtag originated from, because that thing went to video games, to movies, to TV shows, and like and beyond. Books.
Yeah.
But yeah. So George Romero is one of my favorite directors. So this one is a weird, oddly, I don't know what you call this. I guess it's a reboot or remake or whatnot. It's called, Day of the Dead Bloodline. You can watch it on Netflix right now. On IMDb, the synopsis is a small group of military personnel and survivalists dwell in the underground bunker as they seek to find a cure in the world overturned by ghosts. Yep, that's the plot twist, Ben. Ghosts. Did you believe that?
I do believe that.
Yes, it's ghosts that still have their shell, so we call them zombies.
Ghosts in a shell?
Yes, ghosts in a shell is zombies, actually. That's my new remake. If you're a fan of the original one, this sounds exactly like the original one. He also has a character similar to the original one. This one, though, his name is Max. In the original, in the 1985 version, is Bub. It has similar storyline a little bit. This one's more of a obsessed person trying to get to this person named Zoe, played by Sophie Skeleton. My biggest gripe about this movie, I know it's not like the big blockbuster movie, it's the acting though is really bad, especially from the main actress that's the protagonist. I don't like hating on movies, but this one really was like really noticeable, only because I'm not 100% sure what's wrong with it. I don't know if they just do the one shot and that's it. One take and that was it. But the acting really threw me off. And my wife and I have been watching like the trauma films and all this other stuff. So we're like used to that. But I guess because it's not like a trauma type film, it just feels so weird to have her acting. It feels
like
so
you don't know if this is all intentionally supposed to be bad. Well, yes, trauma. Yes. And like films similar to that are intentionally because of their time restraints and whatnot. But that does look like a film that they probably took their time to make.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. But the story is semi-interesting. I mean, it still follows the same steps where they take the zombie. He is kind of half zombie, half human. He has a heartbeat still. His mind is still working. He knows what he's doing. In certain situations, so they still have that, like the 1985 version. But other than that, it's more of this weird obsessed guy trying to get with this girl, and I don't know, it just didn't really work with me. The special effects are really great. I love the way that everything looks. It's very still more practical than special effects. The guy who plays the main zombie, Max, I don't know. There's a he has this real cool makeup. It reminds you of Bub from the 1985 version. But when he smiles, I can't tell if it's special effects or actual his smile can get that big. If it's special effects, wow, it looks really nice. The way it almost has that Joker feel, like a big smile of a Joker. But at the same time, it's so creepy when he smiles. And I thought that was really awesome, the way they portray him every time he showed any emotion and whatnot. But yeah. Like I said, if you're a fan, I guess, of zombie movies and you want to check this out, go ahead. It's all like that campy type of fun. But if you don't want to see the same old zombie story where they try to survive and whatnot, then you can skip this. Other than that, yeah, I can't, real quick, I just want to mention I watched The Walking Dead finale, leading to another zombie thing. The finale was last weekend, I guess, and it ended the way the comic book kind of ended, and a lot of my friends that watch it really hated that part, and I don't know what to say. It's you either take the story as is, or yeah, I thought it would be really different from the comic book, but no, it's almost exactly the style. There's a speech that Rick gives and stuff, but yeah, I don't really want to like give it away if people are still watching The Walking Dead. I still watch it only just to see how it goes, but I'm like half watching it at this point, and I really want to see what they do next season, because the next storyline they have to go into is very insane in a weird way, but I don't know if people will be on board with that storyline. But yeah, that's all I've been doing the last couple of weeks. How about you, Ben?
What for The Walking Dead, what issue are they on when it comes to the show? Like, what would you say?
I would say a little past 100. So if you're an issue 100 and be a little, maybe 120 or so like that. That's my the thing that I remember, their numbers, I guess. Because All Out War was around 100, after 100. So it's probably 120, I would say, then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Why? Do you have the issues? I think you do have, like, the books.
But I do. I have most of them. I haven't been reading.
The finale in your stacks of books. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing a bunch of stuff, too. The things I've mentioned in the last episode was Cardi B's album, debut album is Invasion of Privacy. Fantastic album. Don't really want to get into it as much, but... it's very surprisingly good in a sense of like what people probably didn't expect. Like, I think she used that time wisely of not putting out album after a couple years. She had mixtapes and whatnot, but she really went through and talked about her relationships and her being cheated on and a lot of private moments about her life that is you know, into song form and whatnot. A really great guest from Kehlani, Chance the Rapper, and Zia, who are featured in almost a couple of her songs. And Migos, of course, because I think her husband-to-be is Offset. And I highly recommend if you're a Cardi B fan.
Top three songs from the album, Ben. What's your top three?
I can't name them on my top of my mind.
So, I've been listening to it.
Bodak Yellow is one, of course. Uh-huh. The one with Chance the Rapper is called Best Life. Huh?
I've been listening to the album too, that's why. So I just
Okay. Best Life is my favorite. Bodak Yellow. Drip is good. And the one with Kehlani as Ring, and the one with Zia, I Do, is really good.
I like the song I Like It.
That's one. A really good song. If you, it's going to be one of those songs where
you hear in the clubs,
catchy. yeah, you'll be in the clubs. Yeah. It is also like the samples from a very famous song too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's Cardi B's Invasion of Privacy. The other thing I did was also played a indie video game on my Xbox One titled Minute. So it's a chromatic top-down perspective adventure game played 60 seconds at a time. And you uncover secrets, items, and peculiar characters along the way. Just think of like Zelda, A Link to the Past, but more minimal than that. Mm-hmm. It's developed and collaborated with well-known like indie developers, JW, Kitty, Jakio, and Dom. But it's published by Devolver Digital. who's well known for a lot of like indie hits too. Yeah, it's really fun. Every quest feels good and deserving. You feel like you're progressing as you go, which feels great when you, and especially these type of games, which I heard it's only like an hour and a half long only, or a couple hours long. So I highly recommend that if you love doing, this is the type of games I like going into because this is the only time I have to play again. I cannot play a God of War or, you know, a Zelda game and contribute like, you know, several hours of my life anymore because of other stuff. So I'm always busy. So yeah, that is Minit. It's spelled M-I-N-I-T. I think that's the main character's name.
Oh, cool. So, like Fez.
It's very challenging. Huh?
Not, like Fez? I don't know if that's his
name. Yeah, yeah. Fez, yeah. I don't know if that's his name, Fez. But the character actually reminds me of Fez, too. Like the character Fez. And the last thing I did, which is kind of new that I didn't mention in the last episode, the last episode, is I watched this BBC America television series titled Killing Eve. It's created by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. She's fairly new to me. I don't know where is she from, but she created the show. It's based on books and novels from Luke Jennings. They're titled Villanelle. They're small, like, books. I think they're only like a couple hours long and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the television show is about Sandra Oh's character, the titular character Eve, who is a death-ridden like security officer and is tracking down a talented yet quirky sociopath assassin named Villanelle, who's played by Jodie Comer. From the first two episodes, both characters grow this obsession with each other, especially their motives. You could watch everything on BBC America if you're a subscriber to that. But overall, I think it's like captivating to see these two women, primarily, you know, it's led by them, television series, but also so much material to work with. You can compare like this show to like NBC's Hannibal or AMC's Breaking Bad. Oh. But what you get is more significant than those shows because it's through the lens of the female perspective. And for example, like the assassin, Villanelle, played by Jodie Comer. In one of the episodes, she has a bruise on her face. It's a small bruise, but a curious neighbor who doesn't know that she's an elite assassin, who's also a man, is worried about her, concerned that she might be in an abusive relationship and whatnot. And doing this, it just makes it seem like this, because she's a woman, that she doesn't know how to take care of herself. You know what I mean? So if I was thinking if the assassin was a man, the reactions would be totally different. Probably the neighbor might think that the man was dangerous and whatnot. Yeah. So you see a lot of that play throughout the show where it surpasses like expectations and kind of like undermines them and gives you a new meaning to this. And it's kind of cool to see. I forgot to mention, like, because of the themes and whatnot, it's a psychological thriller with some dark comedy undertones. Think of like British humor, very dry and whatnot. So take that with a grain of salt. What's the greatest thing about this is that Sandra Oh is like excellent in it. She brings a certain like nuance to the character, especially as an Asian American in a British television show. It's set in London. It is like most of the locations they film is all over Europe. So it's like kind of refreshing to see. Also, her character is very vulnerable but humorous all the time. And yeah, I highly recommend it if you want to watch something like unique and entertaining, but also like very interesting because of the perspective they're going for. And I read somewhere when Sandra Oh read the script, she literally thought that it was for minor characters just because Asian American women usually don't get lead roles, especially for material like this. Usually they get like the family mother, a concerning mother and whatnot, but she isn't a concerning mother. She plays this very smart security officer working for the M15, is it MI5, what is it called?
I think it's MI5.
Yeah, MI5, which is like the equivalent to the CIA. So I heard her describe this on interviews as derangingly naughty, in a sense. I don't know, dementingly naughty. she always described, just because the two characters are so obsessed with each other that they dive into like their characters and why their obsession for one another is apparent throughout the couple episodes that you have. But yeah, I highly recommend it. I think this is like my new favorite thing to watch right now. The writing's excellent. But yeah, that is on BBC America. I think it comes on Sundays.
Cool.
Are you interested in watching that?
Yes, tremendously, because I like those type of shows, especially if it's BBC America. I mean, I haven't watched a lot of BBC America lately, but...
I mean, you watch Doctor Who, that's all.
Yes, I haven't caught up though on Doctor Who. I literally only watched two episodes of the newest season with Billy. And I haven't watched anything after above that.
Cool. I think that's it for now. So leading us to our main discussion, here's our main discussion of A Quiet Place. So that is a clip from A Quiet Place, directed and co-written by John Krasinski, best known for his appearance and characters in The Office and other film. Oh, I think he's the new Jack Ryan on Amazon's Jack Ryan. I forgot what the title of that. Starring Emily Blunt, which is his real-life wife, Millicent Simmons, and Noah Jupe. Is it Noah Jupe? I think that is correct. Here is the plot synopsis from IMDb. A family is forced to live in silence while hiding from creatures that hunt by sound. So, John, I know this is like second time to talk about this, and due to the last episode that we had Audrey and Nino here that talked about it with us, because they watched it with us, some details about us watching it. We sat in the very front of the movie theater, and everyone was, you know, very quiet while watching this. I think that is a highly recommend experience to do it in the movie theater if you want to get the full experience, is to watch it while being quiet. But yeah, what's your thoughts about A Quiet Place, John?
My thoughts for this movie is that I really liked it. This is one of those thrillers that I think everyone should watch. It's a movie about family that I didn't expect that I wanted to see, especially with this enemy that's hard to escape, because if you make one little sound, the monster will come out and try to get you. And the way it's filmed, or not the way it's filmed, but it reminds me of like Steven Spielberg Amblin style of filming, where it gets really creepy, not creepy, tense in moments that, because it's so quiet, even if you like when the scene is over, you can hear everyone like breath just release at once, because that the scenes were so tense at times. And I really enjoy the way they portray, because one of the characters is Death. I think it's Millicent Simmons' character, Reagan Abbott, and you told me that she's in real life, she's actually Death in real life. So her, I love how they portray her in the point of the movie where, because she is Death, she doesn't really hear any sounds at all. And then when you get to her point of view, everything's silent. No background noise, no ambient noise, not even the songs and stuff like that. And I think that's pretty cool. Especially in the horror movie, or thriller, horror movie, whatever you want to call it, that it really cuts the tension really when you see that moments and realize like she can't hear anything, so how can she hear the monsters when they come near her? And those scenes with her are really great and it's memorable. And my favorite of this year the ending scenes of like this cool moments that I thought that was like really special for this movie. There are my gripes with the movie that I didn't like is this. There's like this weird, I don't know, it's this type of narrative storytelling that I don't like, where they, well, I don't like now because I've seen it a lot, is the answer is always in front of you the whole time, and they have to like make that apparent in the final scenes. It's like, oh yeah, it's right there, and just like, I don't like that. It's like, I don't like it telling, oh, it's like, it's right there the whole time in your eye, right in front of you, you didn't know, ha ha ha, like that. I wish they they did that better. That's basically it. I try to remember what I said last time. Oh, the newspapers. I'm happy that newspapers never stop printing, and that's pretty cool. The headlines every day is the monsters. How do we stop them? Monster, like, is there a way? And nothing else is on the newspaper. No sports or nothing. Everyone was just more concerned about the monsters, and that's understandable. In that world, and I thought that was kind of funny in a weird way. But yeah, other than that, yeah, I just really enjoyed the movie.
I think the scene where we're talking about is the exposition.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, they it's blatantly out there. Like, there's no reason to be out there. If they live in that world, they would know all that. Mm-hmm. By memory and whatnot. Yeah, it's kind of odd. I think that is what it is for, and that's how movies are.
Yes.
unfortunately. But everything else, I think that's the only gripe I had, was because of that. It was too neat to put in on there and whatnot. I thought the film overall was smart, incredibly tense. It fulfills every like horror expectation I had. It also was like indicative to like a lot of Steven Spielberg films, mm-hmm. especially his more like thrilling scenes. Like, things I think about was like Jaws or Jurassic Park. Things that would like make the crowd, moviegoers intense, but also like a crowd pleaser when yep. you talk about it. There's like a couple of scenes like that in this film, especially one particularly starring Emily Blunt, where it's very cathartic of her and their character go through, and you feel that when that emotional roller coaster going through her, and then and it's a scene that's very quiet, and you cannot hear everyone. You hear the gasps and whatnot in the crowd, but you know that people can't say anything.
Yep.
Unlike other horror films where you have like the soundtrack turned up a little bit, where you could probably say something, blur something out. And this one's incredible use of like music and also non-music, like diegetic sounds and non-diegetic sounds, where it's like, I think in the last episode I mentioned that this is a Foley worker's like dream job, a Foley artist's dream job to be in this film and just doing his best work of like capturing sounds that are usually not amplified, but it's amplified here because you have someone who's like who's deaf, and you have like sound is really like another character in this film, which is kind of cool. I think on the last episode I mentioned that there's like an allegory with this film about trauma and how people use the word trigger nowadays, but that is usually specifically used for people who have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and that this used here, I don't want to spoil it, but it is used profoundly as those monsters, and how, because they are triggered by sound, that there are certain characters who are triggered by those monsters, mm-hmm. and it reminds them of a certain moment, a traumatic moment, which they use. I don't know, I'm probably looking into it too deep, but I think that is a cool way to convey that in this film. And then Millicent Simmons is really incredible here. She's a child actor, but at the same time, she's incredible in this film. This is one of those things, I think I mentioned in the last episode, that where representation of someone who has not the enabled body to like use sound, so she uses like American Sign Language and use that in this film a lot. And just like her small like actions and nuances are very cool to see someone who knows that world really well and then just portray it on a film. I think she mentioned like this opens up a lot of like doors for people who have that disability and whatnot, and people who could in other films use that as not only like this film use it as a character trait, but you could use any, you know, like I think another good example is Baby Driver. Baby's guardian was also deaf, but in real life he's also deaf. I forgot his name, but that character was also deaf, and then you could see how they didn't really, you know, need a deaf character, but at the same time it kind of makes sense in the film. But yeah, so that is A Quiet Place. There's another film again that where a sitcom star makes a horror film, so I cannot wait until someone like Camille Nanjiani. I think he would make a really good science fiction film, knowing his roots are from the X-Files. Like, I think he could probably do justice if he could write one X-Files.
Can you imagine him as investigator, and then he has to figure out his personality? Like, he's that would be so awesome. I love his acting. That's why.
Yeah, and then like another person I feel like would have been a good. From sitcom is Andy Samberg.
Oh yes,
I wonder if he could pull that off. I know he's not an actor in the sense of, like, I don't think he's had a dramatic role since yet. He's more of a comedic actor, so looking forward to that too. So we're not gonna go into like any spoiler review. We highly recommend A Quiet Place. I know this review is late, but at least you get to hear it from us now. So I think that's it, John.
Want to mention one thing real quick.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be on a podcast this week. I did watch something else, two other things that are on Netflix. I watched the Loss of Space. The Loss, what's it called? Lost in Space. Lost in Space reboot that's on Netflix. 10 episodes, you can watch it. Go check that out. The Seth Rogen Hilarity Charity, I think it's called. There's like a 1 hour kind of in vein of that telecast thing they did back
then. Yeah, that's when they do fundraising.
Yes, then we do fundraising.
While I watched doing that. Stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm. And then you can check out my review basically on this new podcast that's been out for a while called All Cue Up. Our friend Greg Dietz, is the co-host with his friend Josh, and I'll be appearing in that podcast this later this week. So if you want to check that out, subscribe to their thing on Twitter and whatnot. They do mostly on their podcast anything that's streaming, original streaming material from Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, basically. And then they watch the show and movies, and they give a review. Most of the time they do two things at a time, and it takes them a while. So it's like a bi-weekly podcast. They can't just watch everything one weekend. I had to like literally space out the Lost in Space or the Lost in Space TV show within 5 days and watch like two episodes per day. But check out my opinions about that. Check out their website, check out their website. I think it's called All Queued Up Podcast. And
that's a good title for a podcast.
I really like that title.
And I'm surprised that no one has ever taken that.
Yep. And their logo is the Netflix font, basically. Just check that out. Other than that, yeah.
Cool. Where can they find you?
You can check me out on Twitter at the most... organized feed of 2018 at AbayArts.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us at thefreakingawesome.com, on our Facebook page, and on Twitter at TFA Now. You can email us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. You could please comment or write a little like comment section in our iTunes feed. The more you write, the more you up, it will go up on people's feeds. The more will be more visible towards, recognized on the iTunes and whatnot. I think that's it. Okay, I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.